This is going to be a longer than normal video for me. In fact, it may be the longest video I've ever done. But I have a lot to say on this topic, so I'm not going to do as much with the visual and music like I normally do. I'll fill it with images and videos, but this is going to be focused more on the audio, more like a podcast. And realize that my defense is geared more towards defending the SSPX, since that's what I attend, rather than other traditional groups. I'm not a state of a contest, so I'm not going to defend that position, but I think a lot of my defense can be applied to other traditional groups. So, I'm sure you've seen all the ex-trad testimonials on YouTube. There are channels whose entire existence is dedicated to this new phenomenon of ex-trad. How I escaped the traditionalist trap. How I left the SSPX and entered the true Catholic Church. The idea is that the Novus Ordo Church is true Catholicism, not traditionalism. They say that all trads are schismatic and make other comments that, quite frankly, anyone who has been in the traditionalist movement wouldn't make, in my opinion, as I think you will see. But it brings me to my first point. I don't put stock in X this or that testimonials. I don't think they can be trusted, and that's across the board. And that includes groups that I would never join, such as the Freemasons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons. Probably because over the last 30 years, I've been barraged by Protestants with the testimonials of ex-Catholic priests, nun, and laymen that are clearly bogus. The Catholic Church they describe is not the Catholic Church I belong to, and they always seem to confirm the anti-Catholic accusations that we all know are lies, such as worshiping Mary, the church banning the Bible, yada, yada, yada. X this or that testimonials are hearsay. You have no way of knowing if they're telling the truth. For instance, every atheist testimonial seems to claim that they were a Bible-believing Christian who read the Bible every day, which the vast majority of Christians do not do, and who went around knocking on doors, even though the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are the only ones who really do that. And then they went to college, took science classes, and realized there was no God. And I've heard some whoppers when it comes to Protestant ex-Catholic testimonials. I heard this one guy claim that he was raised Catholic, but became a, quote, true Christian when he went to an evangelical church and they were reading out of the Bible, claiming that Catholics never read out of the Bible except for the Gospels during a Catholic worship service. And this guy was in his 20s, so he would have been raised in the Novus Ordo. Okay, well, that's a lie. Not a misunderstanding, unless he just wasn't paying attention, but a lie. So that person was most likely lying about having been a Catholic, trying to ward off any Protestants who might be thinking about looking into the Catholic Church. Well, it could be no different here. I'm not saying they're all lying, but you don't know. But here's something that I do know. Most of the time, people make decisions based on emotion, not logic and reason. Most decisions we make are based on emotion in some fashion. But we use the available data to justify, even to ourselves, our decision in order to claim that it is not based on emotion. You learn this in sales. If you're in sales and all you do is give features and benefits, you're not going to sell much. You have to appeal to their emotions. You give them the features and benefits so that when you have struck that emotional chord, they can claim that it was the features and benefits that caused them to buy, thus making it a rational decision. So if you're selling life insurance and you don't make this guy think about his premature death in an auto accident tomorrow and his family being tossed on the street because they have no money, you might as well find another line of work. Now let's apply this to the ex-priest who is now a Protestant. Why does a priest leave the priesthood? Because he wants to get married. But he can't say that, so he latches on to all the anti-Catholic stuff, claiming that that's why he's leaving the church and it's the church's fault. It's just how human psychology works. But let's say they're not lying. Why does this person's experience mean it's wrong? For instance, it could be that the real reason some of these ex-trads left was because they met someone that would not work out in that environment. Maybe they met a person who was previously married and divorced, and they were told by the community that they couldn't get married, and they chose the person over the community. So they look for anything and everything wrong with what they're leaving to justify it. just like when a husband leaves his wife or vice versa and marries another. They'll tell you how bad the abandoned spouse is and how it's all their fault, but in reality it is their fault, and they know it deep down. So we don't know what their real motivation is. And the ex this or that testimonial itself is a sales technique. I learned it from Zig Ziglar. It's called Feel, Felt, Found. I can empathize with how you feel. I was there too, and I felt the same way. But then I found blah, blah, blah. It triggers our need to belong to a group. It's called the bandwagon effect. Hey, everyone's doing it. And again, I'm not saying all these testimonials are bogus, or there are no cases where a person did some digging and made a decision that was genuine. I tend to think most Catholic conversion stories are genuine because they always take years before they get to the point that they convert, and it always seems to go against what they want. They've just run out of reasons they can use to justify not converting. But again, we don't know, and maybe that's just what I want to believe. So we have to take these ex-testimonials with a grain of salt. Okay, enough with the sales seminar. Here are some things that I've noticed about these ex-trads and others who are critical of the traditional movement. The first thing that strikes me is they admit that we are right about the problems in the church since Vatican II and the new mass, the sloppy liturgy, the liturgical abuses, the bad catechesis, RCIA being a train wreck, the denial of dogmas such as purgatory, the dismal state of seminaries, and priests themselves not knowing the faith. Okay, well, this is unacceptable, but they refuse to lay the blame on Vatican II and the new mass, which is clearly where the blame lies. It's not rocket science. The church was this way before Vatican II and the new mass, and since Vatican II and the new mass, it's now this way. But they refuse to make the connection. Some go so far as to say that Vatican II was a good thing and that we need the new mass and that it's better than the old mass. They will say that the world, modern culture, and the media are responsible for these problems in the church, not Vatican II and the new mass. And those things do certainly add to the problem. They point out that the Latin Mass was used during the Reformation and Jansenism, and it didn't stop modernism, the Enlightenment, Darwinian evolution, World War I, and World War II. And to an extent, this is true, except for the Reformation. Pius XII said in Mediator Dei, "The Church has further used her right of control over liturgical observance to protect the purity of divine worship against abuse from dangerous and imprudent innovations introduced by private individuals and particular churches. Thus, it came about during the 16th century when usage and customs of this sort had become increasingly prevalent and exaggerated, and when private innovation in matters liturgical threatened to compromise the integrity of the faith and devotion to the great advantage of heretics and further spread their errors. That in the year 1580, our predecessor Sixtus V of immortal memory established the Sacred Congregation of Rites, charged with the defense of the legitimate rights of the Church and with the prohibition of any spurious innovation." So no, the Latin Mass was not being followed then. And that fact, according to Pius XII, is what led to the Reformation. And has any traditionalist ever claimed that heresy would never happen or that bad things would never happen? Yes, the Latin Mass was in use during all those things, yet 1950 is considered the height of American Catholicism. Priestly vocations were at an all-time high, as well as entrance into religious life. Conversions were up. Those leaving the faith were practically non-existent. The church thrived despite all those things. Then we had the Council and the new Mass, and immediately it all fell apart. Priests were being laicized in droves so they could get married. Entrance into religious life and seminary dropped 80% across the board. Baptisms and marriages drastically dropped. Yes, this is over the course of a few decades, but it began so fast that even Pope Paul VI said it was thought that after the council, sunny days would come for the history of the church. Nevertheless, what came were days of clouds, of storms, of darkness, of searching, of uncertainty. We tried to dig abysses instead of covering them. Through some crack, the smoke of Satan has entered the Church of God. The Church is now confronted with uncertainty, self-criticism, one might almost say self-destruction, as if the Church were doing violence to herself. and Pope Benedict XVI recognized that Vatican II was responsible for the problems in the church. But he says it was not the real council that was implemented, it was the council of the media. Quote, "We know that this council of the media was accessible to all. So dominant and more efficient, this council created many calamities, so many problems, so much misery. In reality, seminaries closed, convents closed, the liturgy was trivialized, and the true council has struggled to materialize, to be realized." So as he said, it's the implementation of the council that was a problem. If this is true, then it's still the council and the new mass's fault, because if those changes hadn't been made, the modernists wouldn't have been able to use them against the church. The modernists were in the church, but suppressed. For instance, the clergy had to take an oath against modernism. Vatican II, because of its vague language, allowed the modernists in the church to make all those changes that the council did not necessarily call for. Did the media implement communion in the hand, Eucharistic ministers, altar girls, get rid of Thomistic theology in seminaries, etc.? No. The modernists in the church did that, and they were able to do that because of Vatican II. So no, the problems didn't start with Vatican II and the New Mass. They were unleashed on the church with Vatican II and the New Mass, causing the crisis that we have in the church today. And if you refuse to see that, you're being intellectually dishonest. Speaking of intellectual dishonesty, I was watching one of those channels dedicated to the extrad movement, and this guy was going on about the supply jurisdiction claim of the SSPX, repeatedly using the sacrament of confession in his examples, saying it was dangerous to go to them for confession because if they didn't have supply jurisdiction, you didn't get your sins forgiven. And this video was only a month old. Well, the SSPX doesn't rely on supply jurisdiction for confession. They have direct jurisdiction for confession from Pope Francis and have since 2016. When this fact was brought up in the comments, the owner of the channel simply said the guy was going off an old article. Now, if he had said it once or twice, that would be one thing, but he kept harping on it, and the moderator kept agreeing with him during the video. So she knew what he was saying was not true, but she didn't correct him and allowed him to give her audience false information. So you've got to be careful with these testimonials. You don't know what their motives are. Now, I understand this charge being leveled against Sede Vacantist and even the SSPX. I don't agree with it, but I understand why it's being said. But I've heard this said even about those who attend the FSSP, the Diocesan Latin Masses, and ICK, Latin Mass groups who are clearly in communion with Rome. So it's this spirit of schism or schismatic attitude that people love to throw around these days that they're talking about. Well, I didn't realize that leaving traditional Catholicism gave a person the ability to read souls. Who do you think you are, Padre Pio? What right do you have to declare anyone schismatic, let alone someone attending a bishop-approved mass? This is dangerous. Realize that the definition of schism is the refusal of submission to the Supreme Pontiff or of communion with the members of the church subject to him. By declaring people to be in schism, you may in fact be putting yourself in schism. But notice how this is never applied to the Novus Ordo. If schism is disobeying the Roman Pontiff, which it's not, then were the Canadian bishops in schism when they officially and publicly denounced Imani Vitae? Were the German bishops in schism when they were blessing same-sex couples when Rome told them not to? How about those women who called the bishop getting their Orthodox priest removed for preaching against contraception? Of course, when these things are brought up, they admit they exist, but somehow it's different. The people who disobey the Pope to promote sin are not schismatic, but the people who disobey the Pope to preserve the Latin Mass and tradition are. Priests, bishops, and the laity in the Novus Ordo disobeying the Pope isn't schismatic, but the SSPX, FSSP, and ICK are when they disobey. I'm sorry, but this spirit of schism is 10 times worse in the Novus Ordo. So fix the Novus Ordo first, then talk to me about the trads. Which brings me to my next point. These criticisms are never applied to the Novus Ordo. It's not just the spirit of schism charge that's applied to trads but not applied to the Novus Ordo crowd. I actually heard one of these ex-trads claim that the theology differs from trad to trad, and that's not Catholic. Are you kidding me? I'm not saying there aren't theological disputes among trads, but it's nothing compared to the Novus Ordo, who routinely deny settled church dogma. This happens in the laity, priests, and bishops. The whole point of the traditional movement is to preserve the traditions of the church precisely because cafeteria Catholicism is so rampant in the Novus Ordo. But of course, they can't apply their criticisms of trads to the Novus Ordo, because if they do, their whole position falls apart. Trads are arrogant liturgy snobs who think they're better than everyone else and know more about the faith than everyone else. They're pissed off, and it's a toxic environment that constantly bashes the Pope, bashes Vatican II, and bashes the Novus Ordo. Well, that's not my experience. Everyone I've ever talked to at my SSPX chapel was very nice. I've been going there for 2 years now, and they've never said anything bad about the Pope, Vatican II, or the Novus Ordo in the homily. It's always sound traditional Catholic teaching. And you could say, well, that's your chapel. Well, Kennedy Hall and Taylor Marshall say the same thing. And I think that characterization may have been true 30 or 40 years ago, but as the mainstream church goes further and further off the rails, more and more, quote, normal people are turning to tradition who don't have that post-Vatican II baggage. And as far as knowing more about the faith, the average trad knows more about the faith than the average Novus Ordo Catholic. Sorry. The traditional Catholic movement continues to splinter and divide like Protestants because we rely on our personal interpretation, not of Scripture, but of church documents. So in the end, there is no real difference. Now, this is a fair criticism. Since the church has been hijacked by the modernist, it has stopped teaching the faith and has instituted an inferior liturgy with the intent of getting rid of the traditional Latin Mass. Since Rome isn't doing its job, we are on our own, which means you're going to have differing opinions. This is why I say there's no reason to go beyond the SSPX. Outside of that, it can get pretty sketchy. And it's often pointed out that many of us are, in fact, former Protestants. This is true. But this doesn't mean that we're wrong. In fact, we are the ones who, in searching for truth, have discovered that it is the Catholic Church. But upon entering, we have discovered that the post-conciliar church is much different than the pre-conciliar church, not just in its liturgy, but in its teaching. So either the Catholic Church for almost 2,000 years before the Council is correct, or the Church for 5 decades after the Council is correct. They say Protestants will often become traditionalists because we retain the Protestant mindset, and these traditional movements give us permission to criticize and disobey the Pope, or even deny that this or that man is the Pope. And yes, there are some prominent trads who are in fact former Protestants, like Taylor Marshall, Gary Matetix, and the Diamond Brothers. But this ignores prominent cradle Catholics in the traditional movement, such as Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, all the SSPX bishops, Father Jenkins, Father Chiqueta, Father Gregory Hess, and Kennedy Hall, as well as prominent Protestant converts who are not trads, like Scott Hahn, Jeff Cavins, Marcus Grodi, and most of the apologists at Catholic Answers. In fact, in the 90s and early 2000s, before YouTube and other social media came into existence, the majority of prominent mainstream Novus Ordo Catholics were, in fact, former Protestants. And some of the most influential Catholics of modern times were Protestant converts, like G.K. Chesterton and Cardinal John Henry Newman. So honestly, this criticism is just bogus. To prove their point, they are constantly quoting the conciliar and post-conciliar documents, which is kind of odd if they're trying to convince trads who doubt the authority of those documents or reject them altogether that they're wrong. That's like trying to convince a Protestant that Catholicism is true by quoting the popes and the councils. They don't care. And when they do quote pre-conciliar documents, they only quote what benefits their point, never what goes against it. For instance, they'll quote Mediator Dei when it says, "On this subject, we judge it our duty to rectify an attitude with which you are doubtless familiar with, venerable brethren. We refer to the error and fallacious reasoning of those who have claimed that the sacred liturgy is some kind of proving ground for the truths to be held of faith, meaning by this that the church is obliged to declare such a doctrine sound when it is found to have produced fruit of piety and sanctity through the sacred rites of the liturgy, and to reject it otherwise. Hence, the epigram, lex orandi, lex credendi, the law of prayer is the law of faith. but this is not what the church teaches and enjoins. But they will not quote the same document when it says, the use of the Latin language customary in a considerable portion of the church is a manifest and beautiful sign of unity, as well as an effective antidote for any corruption of doctrinal truth. But it shows their real motive. It's not to bring trads out of the traditional movement. It's to prevent those in the Novus Ordo who see the problems with the Novus Ordo from looking to the traditional movement for answers. I was listening to one of these testimonials, and the lady brought up how her old FSSP priest had mentioned to her that the new catechism was an error because it doesn't talk about the limbo of the infants. She then referenced the 2007 International Theological Commission's document, which says that we can hope for the salvation of infants who die without baptism, and she was quoting it as if it was authoritative, which it is not. The constant teaching of the Church, the Fathers, the Saints, and a few popes has always been that babies who die without baptism do not receive the beatific vision. It's why we baptize our babies. And the councils of Florence and Trent, which are authoritative and infallible, make it very clear that infants who die without baptism do not go to heaven. The question has always been, do they suffer punishment? And that's where limbo comes in, which says no. In fact, it says they have natural happiness and access to the angels and the saints. True, it was never made official, but according to the constant teaching of the Church, the saints, popes, and at least two ecumenical councils, the alternative to limbo is not they go to heaven. And this is why people become trads. We see what the Church has said infallibly in the past, and then what they have said post-Vatican II, which is never said infallibly, but always seems to contradict what was said infallibly in the past. And we say this is a problem. Again, either the Church for almost 2,000 years before Vatican II is correct, or the Church for 5 decades after Vatican II is correct. But to these modernists, and that's what these people are, what was said infallibly in the past can be reinterpreted. The long-standing tradition of the Church is wrong. Anything said Vatican II and beyond, even though they are never said infallibly, including Vatican II, and often said at a level with no authority or very low authority, is quoted as if it is infallible. A document from a pontifical commission does not negate an ecumenical council. It's the other way around. Now, of course, they're not supporting abortion or divorce and remarriage or anything like that, but I have noticed some of the women who give these anti-trad testimonials do embrace a very soft feminism. They'll be critical of the trad view of modesty for women, which, by the way, comes from Pope Pius XI, I think, and they will often try to ward women off, saying that they would not be happy as a trad wife. They criticize how women are expected to cover their head and be submissive to their husband, you know, like the Bible says. They criticize the purity culture, the lack of sex education, saying these kids sometimes go into marriage not knowing what to do, keeping sex a mystery. Yet we know what exposing preteens and teens to sex education looks like. Teen pregnancy, sex addiction, pornography, increase in perverse sexual activity, and abortion. If sex is kept a mystery, then they won't take it lightly. It's the people that say sex is no big deal who engage in the above activities. I would rather someone be spared all that psychological damage, even if it means they have to make a phone call to their parents on their wedding night asking, how do we do this? And apparently they figure it out. These are the people having 10-plus kids, remember? I heard one woman criticize the SSPX for only referring to it as, quote, the marital embrace. What? You mean the SSPX thinks sex should be confined to marriage? These women are just feminists. They're making the same arguments feminists were making 20 years ago. One woman even made a comment that the trads were anti-feminism. She caught herself and said, well, feminism is bad, but anti-feminism is bad too. What? That makes no sense. Either feminism is good and we should embrace it, or it's bad and we should resist it. Yes, trads have not conquered concupiscence. The traditional Latin Mass and traditional rites and teaching have not rid the world of sin. But they will claim that sexual abuse from priests is rampant in trad circles. Remember, these people are saying leave traditional Catholicism and go to the Novus Ordo. Well, I'm sorry, but it's a lot less in the trad community than it is in the Novus Ordo. There are only a handful of traditional priests who've been involved with scandals as opposed to hundreds in the Novus Ordo. But they will say the abuse is covered up more in the trad communities. That's hearsay. There's no way to prove those abuses happened but were never reported. Yet we know that's what was going on in the Novus Ordo. I'm sorry, but this criticism is just laughable. Regardless, I would like to point out that the vast majority of priests, traditional or Novus Ordo, are good, honest men, not living a scandalous life. And while some people raised in traditional homes, going to the Latin Mass and receiving traditional teaching, do leave when they get older, it's nothing compared to the Novus Ordo. The statistics say that 4 out of every 5 cradle Catholics leave the faith by the age of 23. One priest from the SSPX said it was maybe 1 out of 5 or even 1 out of 10 people raised in the SSPX that leaves when they turn 23. So I would say the scandal and apostasy is rare in trad communities while it's rampant in the Novus Ordo. Trads overemphasize the Blessed Virgin Mary and private revelation above magisterial teaching. Let's address the latter first. Trads are the ones who know the councils, especially Florence and Trent, the Syllabus of Errors, and the pre-Vatican II documents. We question / reject the conciliar and post-conciliar documents, which typically have little to no magisterial authority, including the council documents themselves. The only exception is Humanae Vitae, the ban on contraception, which trads readily accept, and the majority of the Novus Ordo crowd reject, at least in practice, according to polls. The reality is, it's trads who know the Catholic teaching, and when something is binding, and with what level of authority, or if something is not binding at all. These critics of traditionalism seem to think if the Pope or a Cardinal says something in an interview, it's binding, which it is not. And it's the Novus Ordo who downplay the Virgin Mary and private revelation from what it used to be. If a private revelation is approved, that means, for one, that there's nothing here that contradicts church teaching. So, if the church has approved an apparition of Mary prior to the Second Vatican Council, for instance, the church has said that this apparition of Mary does not contradict church teaching. So if you're saying that said apparition contradicts Vatican II, well, what does that tell you about Vatican II? And we have hundreds of years of private revelation, approved by the church, of course, that have accurately predicted the current situation in the world and the church. But they are somehow wrong? We're supposed to just ignore them? And they all say that praying the rosary and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary are the way out. Even the ones post-Vatican II, such as Our Lady of Argentina, which was approved by Pope Francis. So no, trads do not put private revelation above magisterial teaching because none of it contradicts the constant magisterial and traditional teaching of the Catholic Church. Now, there are a lot more of these ex-trad claims I could go over. And believe it or not, there are claims more ridiculous than the ones that I have, like traditional Catholicism leads to orthodoxy. I've never heard of a traditional Catholic going to orthodoxy. But I've heard of many Novus Ordo Catholics leaving the church for orthodoxy. Why? Because they are looking for tradition, and it's been drilled into them not to go to these traditional Catholic groups. Which brings up something else. Nobody seems to be making videos warning people not to leave Catholicism for orthodoxy or even Protestantism, only traditional Catholic groups like the SSPX. Because it is seen as okay to leave the Catholic Church for orthodoxy or even Protestantism in a lot of these Novus Ordo communities, but unthinkable to go to traditional Catholicism. You don't see a problem with that? Until my next video, God bless.